Almighty and Eternal Father, in thankfulness we can enter into thy presence to worship thee and to meditate upon the patterns of thy instruction, aware that the great vastness of our inheritance lies in the knowledge of thy purposes, that which you are going to bring to pass in the earth, the utilization of thy people. We thank thee, our Father, that you have given unto us thy word, that every word that proceeded forth from thee was given for inspiration, and that we might know that these words are true. Our Father, we thank thee that in this hour, in which the forces of darkness seek to obscure the light, that you are reserving for thy people an understanding of thy plan and thy purpose. We pray for the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church, that we might see a great transition within the structure of its physical body, as it becomes aware of spiritual truth and discerns the distinction between that which is thy plan and thy purpose and this which is the plan of the enemy. Our Father, in this hour, as we survey these situations through which we pass, we become aware of the time in which we live. We pray that you shall grant unto each one of us an understanding of our relationship to occupying in this very vital hour. It is also with assurance that we accept the guidance of thy Spirit which moves upon us, with an awareness that what you are doing in the midst of thy people is to establish thy kingdom with power and with great glory. But we are in an hour of transition, we are in an hour of change, but we are in the hour also of the unveiling of the purposes of thy household in the earth as you have ordained. So we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we ask it. Amen. We turn this afternoon in our subject, Exposing the Deceivers. We've arrived in the course of history at one of the periods of time. In the great subtlety of the design of Lucifer, he seeks to lead the kingdom of God by error. There is no doubt that the powers of darkness are fully aware of the increase in the numbers of the household of God. They know who they are and they know from whence they have come. Nor have they lost the discernment to remember what it is that has been declared the kingdom would do. There are many things they cannot understand, and there are many things they lack the spiritual capacity to perceive because of the area of error in which they exist. But one thing that you can be sure of, the enemies of God's kingdom are consistent in their opposition to that kingdom, and they are consistent in their attempt to deceive it. If you were to turn over to the book of Revelation, you will discover that when it refers to Lucifer and to his household, it gives you a little insight into his nature. He, as you know, and we have referred to it in the past, waged a mighty warfare for control of the universe. He was thrown out of the heavens by Michael the Archangel. And in the hour of his defeat, as far as the heavenly bodies and the people that resided upon them were concerned, he, Lucifer, was influencing and had moved into the areas of error one-third of the host of the heavens, and had behind him not only fallen angelic hosts and people that occupied the universe, but was able to deceive one-third of the host of the heavens. This mighty super-deceiver on the horizon of the universe, then defeated, was cast to earth. Having been cast to earth, we turn now into the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, as said, referring to Lucifer having been defeated by Michael, who is referred to then, that is Lucifer, as the great dragon, the devil or Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Let's get this very clear now. This is a mighty work of deception now here in the earth, as had taken place previously in the outer universe. He deceiveth the whole world. Someone said, well, no wonder everybody lacks a full knowledge of what is truth and what is not truth. Well, when we say he deceiveth the whole world, we're not talking about your race. Let's make this rather clear. You are the children of the Most High God, who were born of His Spirit in the great celestial plains in the yesterdays of God's plan. You whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You who have come to earth having volunteered to come through this door that God has opened when He established the Adamic race and started the embodiment of His children, whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and who he refers to as his elect. Therefore, being the elect of God, you were they which God has selected throughout the courses of time to reside in the earth. As such, therefore, you are the people of the Most High who he did foreknow. The Apostle Paul said those he did foreknow, he did predestinate. It also tells us that they are elect of God according to his foreknowledge. When we talk about an election, it isn't something in which God votes for you and the devil votes for you, and then we have to see what the outcome is, because God knows what the outcome is, and anything He elects to bring to pass is going to happen. Sometimes you and I vote for things, and what we vote for doesn't happen. But that, my friends, is because of the timing and because of the situations of the areas of environment and because of areas sometimes of blankness that is drawn down over the minds and consciousness of people that should know better. Now, therefore, we are told that we are living in a period different from probably any period in history because of the intensity of energies and forces and powers that are involved. This is one reason why, if ever there was a need to challenge the church, to challenge men and women, to awaken them to responsibility, and to teach them to catalyze their spiritual forces, it is now. Because you are fighting not only all the satanic energies that have been catalyzed throughout all centuries and all time, but you are arriving in the climactic period of history at the greatest of all testing times in human history. So we read about such a period of time, and we have first the instruction, which we can remember now from the book of Revelation, that Lucifer himself is not only a super deceiver, but he has deceived the whole world. Because of this, before your race arrived, the peoples of earth not only had fallen under the pagan programs of Lucifer, they were under the areas of the great abominations and violations of divine law. Their races were being mongrelized, they were being mutated, they were worshiping doctrines of devils and of demons, and we are told that throughout the course of the world that they were under the hold and under the power of Lucifer, for which cause God said, I'll send my own family into the earth, I'll build a kingdom, we'll overthrow the darkness, we'll lift up standards of light. Thus it is, your household and your race are the children of light. You're not the children of darkness, but you're the children of light and the children of the day, of God's great day, which is still ahead and which you are participating in part of, which as it comes into its fullness will have the world administered not by the darkness, but by the light, will be administered by the sons of the eternal, and which will mark the greatest transition in human history since the arrival of Lucifer to put the world in darkness. Therefore, we read that he has deceived the whole world. How will you say, well, that does that affect us? We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Let us get this clear. When the Scripture says we are in the world, but we are not of the world, it means that we are not of the posterities of the peoples of the world order that have, under the power of Lucifer, are marked as the world. Now, every once in a while, someone says it's a Christian's responsibility to get away from worldliness, and in what they call worldliness, they classify everything except attending church, praying, or reading the Bible as worldliness. And this is, of course, fictitious, and this is not what the Scripture is talking about. When we refer to that which is classified as the world or the world order, we are referring to the sum total of those forces captivated by Lucifer, overthrown before our race arrived, and make up the world. We have been warned against policies of the world entering into the kingdom of God. We have been told that since you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, we do not want to see the light of the world covered up by darkness. We do not want to see the salt of the earth mingled with the earth. Lucifer can duplicate the appearance of the salt. We find that it was an old custom to mix when salt was more valuable and scarce. They used to mix it with areas of earth that had no flavor, with substances that looked like it. And the more they diluted the salt, the more bulk they received. And this was a good thing as far as Jewish merchants were concerned, because they made more money, because they had to actually sell less salt, but the savor disappeared. Now again, when you mingle salt with earth, you lose the saltiness. Now the kingdom of God was not placed here to be defeated, it was placed here to win. It was placed here to influence the earth, to carry out the projects of God, and since ye are the salt of the earth, the savory influence lies in this spiritual quality that you possess, the world does not possess. This spiritual quality is the area to be guided in inspiration by the mind of God. It is to be able to function under the impact of His Spirit, being spirit of His Spirit as well as flesh of His flesh. You alone among all the peoples of earth have the capacity, even in the midst of upheaval and in the midst of super deception, to come through with leadership and to provide that balance which is so essential and which ultimately will be used of God for the administration of the earth. And therefore ye are the salt of the earth. And the Scripture says, if the salt hath lost its savor, then wherewith would the earth be salted? Wherein would there be any achievement or any victory? So as such, therefore, we refer to you as not being of this world. Jesus said, you are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He being the embodiment of God out of the heavens, and you being His offspring and children of the Most High, you also have come out of the heavens to earth. because of this situation, then when we say this world is not my home, we're not talking about this planet. We've been here now long enough that we are well oriented as to the planet itself. And we may be living on the planet, and you have homes on the planet, and God doesn't want you to surrender the planet. He wants you to occupy it, you take it. But we're still not of the world as we classify this order in opposition to the Most High God. Now, I point out to you that it is very, very possible while in bodies of flesh and not perceiving and not yet reactivated in the seeking in the seat of your consciousness to the patterns of God for people to be deceived. The deception is not a permanent one, but the deception can affect their conduct, can affect their well-being, can affect their nation, and can affect the whole structure of the nations that make up the kingdom of the Most High God. This is one of the reasons why you can be well assured that you have arrived in the latter days. You are not in latter days alone. You are in the last days of latter days. You are at the very lip of a new age and on the cusp of a new hour. What's about to transpire is the Son of Righteousness is going to rise with a mighty healing in His wings, as already in your consciousness and in your mind, the light of His illumination is a predominant factor in your thinking. So we turn to these words in the book of Matthew concerning such an hour. And it talks about this climactic day, and except these days would be shortened, there wouldn't be any flesh left. Except the days be shortened, the very elect would have been swept away from the earth with a great catastrophe upon all sides. For the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Why? Well, because there's going to be all kinds of false messiahs which have been arising here and there. There are false prophets and false doctrines, and some of them show signs and wonders, so to speak, and make these promises, and if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. If it were possible. Now, they can temporarily make areas of deception. We get this out of the other apostles and out of the writing which the apostle Paul gives when he speaks with admonition unto various pastors and various apostles as ministers to the cause of Christ. So we discover that we are living in the hour where, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But as a people, as a race, the world order is under deception because Lucifer has deceived the whole world, but he has not deceived all God's elect. There has never been a punitive time where God had all God's elect, where Lucifer had all God's elect deceived. You say, how do you know about that? How about the days of Adam and Eve? He has seduced Eve. But you know what the scripture said? It said Adam was not deceived. In other words, he followed along in the temptation, and he transferred all the blame over to Eve, but he wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived, seduced, and taken over, but Adam wasn't. That's why they transferred the fall to Adam, because he acknowledged the companionship and acknowledged the temptation, but he wasn't deceived. I point out to you, there is no time where the elect of God were deceived. But if it were possible, they would be. And there's areas today which operate as super deception that have had their influence and have their impact today. There is a partial deception that is moving over the minds of numbers of people inside the kingdom of God, and they must be taken out of these areas of deception. Now, someone wants to know, how do you tell a deceiver? Well, there's a lot of ways to tell one, but we have a Bible position here. You know, there's one good thing about this hour. You're in the latter days, and you know what it says towards the end of the age? It says every secret thing is going to be made known. And a lot of people say, oh boy, I hope not every secret thing. See? When we talk about every secret thing being made known, we mean every secret thing which is a part of Satan's diabolical plot to destroy the kingdom. It isn't a matter of going around and throwing the light on individual and human mistakes, but the fact remains that those that work and become a part of the strategy to destroy God's kingdom are not going to get away with it. In fact, every secret thing is being made known, whether they are president of the United States or whether they are a high office holder, it's going to be made known. They don't like it. They don't even like the little books that are coming out pointing to these things. But if you aspire for a high position, you better be right today, because if you're not right, everybody's going to know about it. Thus it is that God's spotlight is being thrown on whole areas of deception. And when we talk about every secret thing shall be made known, we point out then that it is only by truth that light comes in. And Jesus says, ye shall know the truth shall make you free. Deception puts you in bondage. Deception not only puts people in bondage as individuals, but nations in bondage. And it is only as they know the truth and then they act upon the truth that they break these bonds of bondage and establish the great freedom which is the heritage of the children of God's kingdom. Now I point out to you that in these declarations we can turn to the words of Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, we see the testimony of this hour. The third chapter of 2 Timothy, talking about the end of the age and these conditions. And he said, "For evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, I want to point out to you one word here where it says these evil men and seducers. You will note in the margin of your Bible, or if you have a lexicon, you will note that it makes it rather clear that the word seducer here is a juggling imposter. Now, of course, we've had so many of those in government by now that we know what we have a word for it, boondoggling, you know. And these juggling imposters have juggled your books, they have tried to juggle your society, they have juggled every area of your philosophy as far as possible, and as far as being leadership in the kingdom, they're imposters. Now, juggling imposters. So, there's not only have they moved into the areas of the pulpit, I tell you today that over half of the ministers in the pulpits of Protestant Christianity in these United States are juggling imposters. This last week's Saturday Evening Post, I think, gave us a very important insight into this. Now, don't go running out and buying the Saturday Evening Post. We're going to tell you what's there. Say, why? Well, I have no reason to want to support the purchase of something that never misses a chance to take a crack at the kingdom of God or a good leadership. But they do have sometimes an article or two worth reading. There is one, the last one. They talk about the fact that that they have made a poll or a survey. Now, of course, I'm never quite sure about polls and surveys. How many of you have ever been polled on any great issue that you can remember? Let's see your hands. How many of you have ever been polled on what you think about the Republicans or the Democrats or Johnson or Goldwater by any important poll? How many of you have ever been polled by any major magazine on what you think about Jesus Christ? Well, the same thing. We ask you out in the tape circles, too. If you've ever been polled, write and tell us about it. Because the strangest thing is, all the polls that I have listened to and talked about for the last few years, I have never found anybody among any of the ring of my acquaintances that ever been polled. Apparently, the enemy just polls themselves. And when they poll themselves, they get the kind of answers they want to hear. And so, this, however, may not be the case in this particular poll because of the nature of it. But generally, they poll themselves. I'm convinced of this more and more. I have not yet, though this is the second time we asked about polls, had one person write and tell me what they were polled on outside of what kind of car they bought from the manufacturers of automobiles who were concerned about making a dollar, wanting to please the people. Now, under this instance, then, they polled the clergy and found that over half of the clergy in the Protestant churches, not only with Protestant churches, but in the Christian churches in these United States, over half of the clergy did not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ or his virgin birth. Now, such men are imposters. That's why we dare to say that over half the ministers in the Protestant pulpit are imposters. If they deny that Jesus is the Christ, they are an imposter. They are no minister of God. Irrespective of how many emotional responses they might have had as an urge to be a do-gooder in the areas of society, they do not belong in the pulpit of any Christian church in these United States. Or for that matter, in any great nation or any country of the world. It's time that here and throughout the entire tape circuits and all over these United States that we make this clear. It's time for the people of God to stop supporting those that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Now I point out to you that within the exposure of these deceivers, that probably nothing is more dangerous to the kingdom than a deceiver that is in the midst of God's kingdom, among the children of God's household, in the race that God's established, and in the great nations of his kingdom. That's where deceivers are more deadly. Bad deceivers, of course, the whole world's been deceived already. And there's no doubt that this is why the Lenins and the Marxists and the Khrushchevs can hold Asia and they can hold ends of the earth like this, because the whole world's deceived. There is no light there unless Christ is there, unless the consciousness of Christ and of his Spirit is there. There's no illuminating force in their society. You can deceive all Africa and Asia because they've been under paganism all this time. You can deceive them because they've been living in deception. Their consciousness is in deception. Whenever you can embrace the religions of Buddhism and Hinduism and find in the highest practices of immorality the high instances of the impact of your religion, when it's perfectly all right in things that we know under the laws of God is utter depravity to participate in such incidents, you just have evidence of how a bad religion can be a super deception satanically embodied among people. Now, I turn in this declaration then concerning the identity of a deceiver over to the beloved Apostle John. And we read here in how to classify then some of these areas. It says in 2 John, in this epistle in which the Apostle Paul is writing to Israel, the beloved lady, and all her children which God loves, to this elect lady, your race, your people. And in this, he gives admonition and instruction, and especially instruction. For there are many deceivers that have entered into the world. They came in with Lucifer. They have been propagated and multiplied. Why, Jesus talked about Satan's children. He says, why, you're all liars. Your father was a liar and you're a liar. You couldn't tell the truth because the truth isn't in you. A lot of people run around and think they can do business, you know, with Satan's children, and they'll tell the truth. You can't even believe them when they're selling you merchandise. You can't believe them at any time. If you're forced by any conclusion to have to do business with a merchant of the devil, then expect, my friends, unless you watch every inch of it, that you're being absolutely gypped and chiseled. Listen. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Anybody that denies the embodiment of God or repudiates Jesus is a deceiver. This takes all Jewry into account. This takes also a deceiver who has been captivated by Jewry or by the enemies of the kingdom that do their bidding. This takes care of every minister who is a deceiver if he denies that Jesus is the Christ, the embodiment of God, the virgin born and fulfilled representative of God in the flesh. You know, this is what hurt the John Birch Society. They let deceivers in and they got deceived. See? Not that it isn't, it doesn't have a lot of good and hasn't accomplished a lot of good it has, but all the trouble they've had has come from the deceivers. Now let's point out something here. They that deny that Jesus is the Christ. That's one of the reasons why then we have a very clear factor that the most deadly thing in a nation of God's kingdom is any influence that calls itself the voice of God, or any influence that tries to have any impact socially and sociologically on the minds of a people that eliminates them from the first causation of their society and their race being their father and also their God. So I said, well, of course, they can talk about God the Father and eliminate Jesus Christ. No, you can't, because if you try to talk about God the Father and eliminate Jesus Christ, you don't have any Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? Just this, he who hath seen me hath seen the Father. Have I been with you so long, Philip? Jesus said, and you say, show us the Father. He has seen me, has seen the Father. No man could come to God that refuses Christ, because there's no other gate, no other door, no other identity but Christ for the fatherhood of God. For he was before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. That's why Isaiah's prophecy concerning him says, his name shall be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Let me point out then this to you, that these are the deceivers that may be causing the greatest catastrophe in our society, because this is the area in which they are wavering, and this is the area in which they have been inserting not the voice of God, but the voice of error. They not only mark an area of super deception, but in this operation they are also against the purposes of God and the work of God. Now the design upon the part of Lucifer is not only to deceive us, but to first get us away from the identity of the power from whence our vitality and challenge comes. Then to get us to accept the thinking of the world order, which we are not a part of, to accept as a working operation in our society. And thus he has political deceivers juggling around your funds, your finance, and the power they can gain from you. Let me point out to you that there are a great number of them who are super deceivers today. They say peace when there isn't any peace. They want us to embrace causes of coexistence with the world. Someone said, well, this is a great project. This is God's plan. He wants us to get along with the world. There isn't one place in this book where Jesus wants you to get along with the world order. There isn't one place where God wants you to coexist with the world order or to make a peace with it, or to not resist it, or to not plan, think, and work under the guidance of His Spirit for its overthrow. Let me point out how far deception goes. The other day I listened to a clergyman saying, you can tell how those people that are motivated by God and the political world, by their desire for peace, by their willing to turn and walk the last mile with their enemies. This is the sign of God. Not, my friends, when you deal with the world, it's not. When you deal with the pagan powers of the Soviet Union, when you deal with the enemies of Christ and pagan religions, it is not, my friends, to walk with them as brothers. You want to find a deceiver? Let's go back over to the book of Isaiah. And this is something that a lot of people had better learn. All the book of Jeremiah, the 48th chapter, it says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. This covers clergy and people that talk in the name of God and then advocate the policies that are against God's policies for His kingdom, and seek to deceive the people from the way of truth. I think when I listen to the platitudes of some of these politicians quoting Scripture that have violated every law of the book, they want to integrate and mongrelize the race, they want to join you with the world government of the devil, they want to turn you from God's instructions for your society, and then do this in the name of the Lord. Well, there's a lot of these people, even up in the White House, that say, Lord, 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 and Jesus is going to say, as far as they're representing Him, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I don't even know you. Now listen, I'm going to read the rest of that verse now, and this will shake the pacifist to his toes. Cursed be he that doeth the work of God deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. You say, what does this mean? It means these pacifist clergy that want you to not resist the enemy, but to join the enemy rather than resist, as though this were the way of survival. So God said, these are they that do the work of the Lord deceitfully. And they try to make you a pacifist, wishy-washy society without even the strength to defend yourselves and say, we're trying to disarm the world to keep the peace. I'm going to tell you, behind massive world disarmament programs is not a plan to keep the peace. It's a plan to take you into slavery. It's a plan to make you unable to defend yourself. It's a plan, my friends, to reduce you to the position of an abject technological producer for an anti-God world. Therefore, we point out that the Most High said this is the area of deceitfulness, especially when those representing or saying they speak for the Lord do the work of God deceitfully, and then say, keep your sword from all blood and don't participate in any real resistance. What do you think you're here for? What do you think God put you in the earth for? To occupy. What was His last instructions concerning you as a society? You occupy till I return. I listen sometimes to the talk of this pattern. One of the most significant things was here or there, a majority of the clergy here in the United States that admitted that they didn't believe in the deity of Christ. I'm going to tell you something that might shake you, but this is where you have something by inheritance that's real valuable. Because I tell you, in the preservation of a culture, and a culture, all the thinking images in the mind of a people, not only concerning their faith and their religion and their background and their technological achievements that passed as nascent electrons to generation after generation, are given to the newborn baby even in the genes. This is why they want to mutate into your mongrelize you. They want to knock out this thought image and this spiritual continuity that comes and can be quickened by the Spirit, that can bring all things to your remembrance. This great Holy Spirit instruction, which He said, I send this creative pattern of my own mind on you, this pedigree, it shall bring all things to your remembrance, even the things that I said unto you in the beginning, it shall bring you and lead you into the knowledge of all truth. And so they say, we mutate this, because the Holy Spirit of God will not join in a violation of race mutation. This is one reason why Lucifer wants to mutate the earth. He wants to mutate the kingdom, he wants to mongrelize and integration, there'll be no longer any vision. He wants to short-circuit your spiritual inheritance. Thus it is then that under such a strategy, the Spirit of God marks and calls and unveils and illuminates the great purposes which God has unto His people. Now, this is the strange thing. They went to our colleges. Now, I think the colleges of America and its universities are about the sickest places you can go today as far as what they are instructing and teaching our students. Oh, you say we have some great mathematical teachers. Well, it's pretty hard to twist mathematics, isn't it? Now, that's about the hardest thing you can pervert is mathematics. The only ones that seem to be able to successfully do that are those in the areas of economic drafts in our administration. But it's hard to do that. Well, you can say they're pretty good chemists. Yes, pretty hard to change the substance of things as they are. And the advanced physicist finds it pretty hard to work with the laws of things that he has to diagnose and understand. Pretty hard to change those. But as far as the manipulations of economy, as far as the conduct on a social level, as far as the pattern of the great building and retention of the society of which we are a part for the preservation of a nation, they're teaching today in our colleges and to our youth the utter destruction of our society, the loss of our culture, the mutation of our inheritance. What they are teaching, my friends, is embracing an area in which we become the production slaves of the world and we lose even the identity to determine our own national independence. They are fulfilling in those areas of destruction a denial of God, showing every facet of science outside of the possible physicist. They are attempting to negate any personal relationship to deity that is established as such. These professors in this relationship do not believe in majority in the deity of Christ. They spawn an area of evil. They laugh at those that do. How then would you produce, you say, a great constructive clear vision society when those that are instructing our youth deny the most fundamental facet of it? Now, let's tell you something. When they took the poll in the face of all this calamity of error, they discovered that 3/4 of all the college students in the United States believe in the deity of Christ, even though their ministers don't. They found out that campus clergy around these universities may be among the most derelict leaders we have in society, but they have inherited something that came down from their mothers and fathers, that was inculcated at their mother's knee, that was the impact of God's Holy Spirit that they haven't yet been able to destroy. So because of this, we may say that they would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Super deception. I was also interested, as you may have been, in how they reacted. A lot of preachers didn't believe that prayer actually ever did anything, but it was a pretty good psychological therapy for people. What a bunch of frauds. Then, my friends, no wonder over half of the Christian churches are not contending for our ancient heritage. No wonder that an agnostic backed by Jew attorneys and by the force of the world order can actually end with her suits for an attempt to stifle our inheritance so they take prayer out of our schools. No wonder when half of the clergy inside of the pulpits don't believe in prayer anyhow. As far as the inspiration of the scriptures, well, this is just a bunch of things put together, so they don't believe that either. And so under this instance, they're not going to contend for whether it is or isn't read in our schools. It's an easy, understandable thing. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. And if you follow the blind, you're under a process of deception. Under this instance, then, the Most High hath called for a people that have faith in Him. A people that live on His word. Men shall not live by bread alone, but every word that come out of the mouth of God. And men pass into bondage when they lose this vision. We turn then to the pattern. And here again, we are encouraged. The majority of college students' questions believed that in hours of their need that they could pray and that there was a God up there that is here. So even in this era, we can say that they were ahead of their clergy, and this, my friends, is an inherited pattern of a spiritual dynamic that they haven't been able to rot out of their culture. Oh, how the enemy hates the word culture, just so we can keep it spelled with a C. You know, when we talk about super deceivers, it's well to mark them. This is one of the first years in history where they've come back to identify it. I think the devil's about to do some super attempts at final work. And I know that God's going to do a super work of great miracle power and defeat the devil. This should be one great day when we sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." You say, why? Because we better get all the people of God thinking in connection with the mighty praise unto His person, a recognition to His identity, and a synchronization of their thinking with His. For years and years, Satan's children had a very clever strategy when they came into your countries to deceive. They could enter into contracts, they could pledge allegiance to your nation, they could take out their papers of citizenship, they could even join Christian churches. They could enter into contracts with you, and then they would go home and secretly, they would once each year on these high holiday services, they call it, they would sing the Kalanitra. Now the Kalanitra is an affidavit and an oath under their false religion, under Lucifer, in which they say all of our covenants and all of our oaths are no oaths. All of our promises which we made are now nullified and we repudiate them. Every pledge of allegiance, any allegiance to any nation, any contract which we've entered into is as though we had not made it. Plus the fact that any contract or agreement for our well-being which we shall make for the next year, we shall be released from our obligations for by that Kalanitra. They resign from any covenant that they're going to make in a year ahead. Now, you say, what has this got to do with it? This is the first year that you can pick up every Jewish newspaper from the Nidritz to Sammy Gatz's Jew Voice to the Chicago Sentinel, in which they're advertising with their high holiday services that they want all the Jews to get in the synagogue this year and sing the Kalanitra, to take that oath. So if everywhere the devil's real acting to see that every child that he has takes the oath, that he doesn't have to keep any agreement with you, and they want to get the decks cleared for the greatest area of seductive infamy of all time, I tell you, the kingdom of God better start saluting Christ and making that name so preeminent in their minds that as we catalyze ourselves to not only uphold His standards, but eventually to eliminate from our society the influences of those that serve the devil. The super deceiver. You know, actually, this should be enough, my friends, to produce a deportation of every one of these alien sons of Lucifer that can come into this country and then sing the Kalanitra. All these oaths, all these promises are no promises. So when they pledged allegiance to the United States, they just canceled it all out. When they entered into a contract with you, they just canceled it all out. And I think it's about time for us to take them at their word. I think it's about time for us to tell their international banks and all of their international manipulators that have been holding the paper on all the countries they've defrauded. All right, your contracts are no contracts, your oaths are no oaths. Go take your paper and go pack it. You'd hear the greatest Babylonian cry, oi, 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 reach to the heavens of all time, but we just took them at their word. But the devil doesn't want to be caught on his deception. Super deceivers that tell you that we have high standards, high ethics, and then gather together to forswear every agreement they enter into. This, my friends, is a part of the mark tableau of the hour. You know, this impact of deception and trying to operate on world order, of trying to fuse together the kingdom of God with the darkness, even reaches into high areas of the church. We have been long aware of the ecumenical conference and all that relates to it, as we have watched the so-called physical church bodies trying to come together, and they are extolling the values of such a bringing together of all people. Now, there isn't any doubt in my mind of the great eventual work of God's Holy Spirit upon His sons and His daughters that can call His sheep by name and lead them out. There is no question that we're going to watch in our time the great dynamic of God's Spirit move, and we're going to see one faith, one Lord, one baptism in His kingdom from one end of the earth to the other. And nobody has heard more about this and has been troubled about a spiritual force that might move on God's people than Lucifer himself. And he's been activating all of his clergy to push this project. Now, that doesn't mean everybody that pushes it belongs to the devil, but the devil has a whole group of brainwashed, deceived people inside the kingdom that are doing his work. I have noted that the strongest strength in ecclesiastical circles, especially in Protestantism, for the ecumenical assembly and gathering of all people together under one title or head comes from ministers that don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me then that it's a spiritual force that's driving them. It may be spiritual, but it's not the Spirit of God. Oh, you say it's a sign of the times. It surely is. Because the beast system wants to gather everybody together under one world government. He'd like to gather all religion together under one head. Good, bad, and indifferent, and then neutralize the good with what it's mixed with. Again, the spiritual force destroys because it has been mixed with that which has no spiritual savor. Everybody has talked about the great and loving spirit of Pope John. Well, this old peasant may not be as ignorant as you think. And there's one thing about it, the whole world would turn to him when he said, we want to bring all Christians together. You couldn't find fault with bringing all Christians together. We must find areas of resolving the differences within the compatibility of the faith. We must unite Christians so that we can take a stand against all other things that war against Christians. Nothing wrong with that. So then they start it. And they expand it that in order to establish the great responsibility of the church and the final brotherhood of man, we must embrace all men, all religions. And here come the Buddhists to kiss the ring. Here come the Hindus over to kiss the ring. And they then, in their converts, were not going to keep out the Buddhists. They weren't going to keep out the Hindus. They were even going to recognize areas of the priesthood of Buddhism. Even the devil worshippers were allowed to come. They even took those that did not have the capacities and made cardinals out of them. Then came the sharpest area of error. Cardinal Beer wrote the great document that was released last year and said that in order to bring the Jews as our brethren into the great ecumenical conference, we want to make this clear, and the Pope gave his approval to it, and it went out as official, that we hereby absolve the Jews from any responsibility in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. My, what authority. Even Rome had outstripped itself because it had now repudiated the authority of previous bishops and leaders of their church. Encyclicals of the Pope, who had said that these were the children of perdition, that these were satanic forces that had not only brought about the crucifixion of Christ, but they sought to contend and destroy Christian doctrine. So you hear the officialdom. We're knocking out all the opposition. Now, something happened on this. I have copies of all the leading Jewish newspapers and how they chortled that at last they'd accomplished it, and Jewish leaders went running down to the Vatican. They were all ready to join in a world brotherhood program because now they could be joined under Christendom. They were absolved also from the responsibility and the death of Christ, and they could come in just like the Buddhists come in, the Hindus come in for a great religious ecumenical conference. But you can't have an ecumenical conference of Christians unless it's based on one thing and one thing alone, and that's Jesus Christ. Now something happened. A lot of people have thought we've gotten away from this dogma. They say it's not important anymore. We don't have to just make sure that a man believes in the deity of Jesus just so he wants to be our friend. These fellows that don't believe in the deity of Jesus don't want to be your friends. They want to be your exploiters and deceivers. Because they are a deceiver if they deny that Jesus is the Christ. So we watch the pattern, what happened. Even in the apostasy of all of the ecclesiastical hierarchies of deadness, even though those that denied that Jesus was the Christ in their churches now gave praise to this ecumenical step, a great revolt started to set in the last year. And while the Jews were priding themselves on the fact that now there was no way for Christians to lay any responsibility of they or their hierarchies or their background for the crucifixion of Christ, so now they would be freed from having to be identified with this pattern of history. It wasn't because their hearts were stirred, because they wished they hadn't done it. You can still remember Ben Heck, who said, leave it to the crowd to bungle. I wished I could have had charge, he said, of the crucifixion of Christ. I'd have fed him to the lions, and I'd like to see them raise a Messiah from hamburger. This is Ben Heck, who recently died, and we never missed him. Now listen. Under this instance that, all over, even from local priests on up, the word came in that we don't want this position. that we're not going to accept this position, even though it vibrates out of Rome, that the Jews were not responsible. Even the cardinals had a report that there was a great wave of resistance against this. And many, many Christian churches among the major denominations, like Methodists or Baptists or Presbyterians and so forth, already partially brainwashed, already with clergy that shouldn't be in the pulpit. But there were enough clergy and enough people that said, well, now look, the Bible said they did it. And whereas these people might be totally blind as to identity, to background, and many of these things, this was something that the Bible said they did it. Now they say they didn't do it. And when they said they did it, they said his blood be on us and our children. And Rome admitted it. Everybody else admitted it. Now they come along and say they didn't do it. Wanted to deceive the whole world. They said, well, now, after all, since God had planned for an atonement of his own doing, if you want to accept the literalcy of the Bible, then they couldn't be responsible for what happened. God, in his declaration of foreknowledge, had declared that he not only would be the atonement and the power of his resurrection would take place, but he also had proclaimed who the forces of evil would be, that in their hatred of him would bring about his death. Now, what happened? Well, Cardinal Bia was shocked last week. He's so shocked he stayed away from the ecumenical conference. And when a cardinal stays away from the Pope, you know something's real bad. You say, what happened? Well, the reaction was so great that even Rome said, we're going to have to modify it because it's not expedient. So they got a new proposition this year for the ecumenical conference. We will not hold Jews responsible for the crucifixion of Christ if they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior and God. So if Jews become Christians, we're not going to hold them guilty. However, let me tell you something. You go down and get this week's Nigris Messenger. You photograph the front page. You put it away in your file. Because everywhere in the world, the Jews have exploded. They said invited to ecumenical conferences and now betrayed. Let us tell the Christians in Rome that we'd rather go to Anschutz, we'd rather go to Belsen, we'd rather go to gas chambers, we'd rather die than accept Jesus Christ. It's on the front page of the Nigris Messenger this week. I don't all go down and run buy one. Maybe we can just vote a status because I don't want any prosperity to go to the enemy. It's there. I hope this clarifies it clear in the mind of all these people that think they're about to convert these people. They say we'd rather die right here than accept Jesus Christ. Of course, they have to dig into all the superstitions of the past where they're supposed to have died and didn't. Well, that's some help. But I tell you that any time you try to receive the enemies of Jesus Christ in order to create what's supposed to be a great new spiritual order in the world, that this is a lie and this is super deception, that you can't bring in the Buddhists, you can't bring in the Hindus, you can't bring in the Jews without having the judgment of God on the whole movement. The National Council of Churches of Christ in America is cursed. But it doesn't even require recognition to be a member in the deity of Jesus. And it has been working hard and fast to try to accomplish satanic objectives, from integration to even your destruction as a separate society. And this past week, the United Churches of Christ came out in total support of the Johnson administration and told its people that they couldn't be Christian unless they voted for it. Let me just tell the people across the nation, if you belong to United Churches of Christ and you can't be a Christian and vote against the evils of this hour, why, you can join the Church of Jesus Christ Christian and vote your conscience. Of course, we're not responsible if there isn't any choice. Super deception on the world horizon. They're trying to tell us today that it is our great responsibility then to help to build this world order, to surrender the sovereignty that God has given us in our national life and the individual control over our properties. And they're trying to tell us that this is Christian. And this again is some of the juggling of subtlety. They tell us we must fight for total equality among all the peoples of the earth, and that this is what God wants. But He doesn't want equality among that which belongs to Him and that which doesn't, or that which has light and that which has darkness. I point out to you that when you're told that all the crisis and curse that sweeps the land is a battle over civil rights, that this is super deception upon the part of a lot of communist conspirators, it's not a civil rights battle at all. It's, my friend, a design to stir up emotionally irresponsible people to loot, rob, and steal. Let's face it, this is a revolution against law and order. Someone said, you believe in law and order? We believe in the law and order. The kingdom of God operates with law, and government should be righteous and just in fulfilling and executing the law as God ordained it to be executed. I want you to know that this revolt is against all areas of law enforcement. Someone says you can't trust all areas of law enforcement. The only reason why you can't is because you're living under an order that's sold out to the enemy, and they give orders that these men have to fulfill or else get out of the force. They'd be better off out of it than doing the wrong thing against the people of God, but some of them don't know this. They got a lot of money in the pension system. Economic manipulation. You don't buy or sell without the mark or do its bidding. Every time they hold people today, almost everything that you know that's bound up is bound up in the economy. We were in Northern California early part of this week, where we reported ranch after ranch for sale. Only one ranch in hundreds of miles was not for sale. Why was this? This was because that the economic order had reduced them down to where they couldn't make a living on their ranches. We're having to borrow money from the banks. No way to make a living. No way to carry on. And so now they're being approached by the super deceivers. If you want this relief from poverty, vote for us. If you want to get out of trouble, give us the power. We're the ones that put you there. We're the only ones that can get you out. Oh, they don't tell you they put you there. But you know what the power is? It's economic. Oh, they've deceived you into surrendering your economy into the hands of the enemy. God told you never to let these people ever touch your economy. And if you lived by the laws of God, you'd have blocked out all the areas of the immigration to your society, the enemies of your race and your faith. You wouldn't be in trouble. Very interesting report out of the Philadelphia Inquirer. As a policeman said, I want out. He said, down the street came hordes of Negroes stacking buildings, robbing stores, and all the small businessmen. And he said, we had orders, and our orders were, you can't shoot. You can use no violence to stop this thing. And he said, here am I, a representative to uphold the law, and I've been told that I can't uphold the law. I'm to let these forces steal and break a number of people. I'm supposed to be defending their property, and I'm told I can't defend their property or my own life. And the resulting condition is, he said, I watched them just steal and loot. It was stealing and looting. He says, there's no civil rights here, and this is right. This isn't civil rights, this is looting. To create disturbance and problem so that they can find another way to sneak up on people and, in the interest of preserving peace, confiscate their ability to defend themselves, put them under the rule of the beast. Deception. I tell you the more clearly that we define the things that are transpiring and proclaim the truth in alignment with the will of God and the purpose of God, the more quickly we're going to take our society out from under bondage. Instead of people getting up and wasting time mincing the fact that this is a battle for civil rights, or this is not a battle for civil rights. This is a force that now claims privilege and power, that it has no intellectual or spiritual quality or in even technological ability to demand. Unable to fulfill, utilized by the masters of deception, this is the disturbance. So how do they stir them up? With the lust, with villainy, with profit. The San Francisco Police Department has to report 93% of all the crimes of robbery, burglary, lust, rape, and violence is committed in the San Francisco area by people of African descent. This is not a matter they can cover up. Here are the facts. Yesterday, we have the same thing in Lancaster. A woman answers an ad to see a house full of furniture. A Negro attempts to rape her, runs off with some of her children after leaving her a hospital case she didn't expect to live. This isn't one case. I can tell you this is being repeated, and the trouble is coming there as well as it's coming here. I just know about this because this is in my backyard. I know that we are moving into an hour of unprecedented race violence. Let's face it, they're trying to deceive us about why, but we know why, because this is the devil's work. One of these days we're going to understand the essentialness of keeping the laws of God. And we're going to deport every unassimilatable force out of our nation. It becomes a defensive matter in the hours which are ahead. We look out on the policy which now is being suggested to the nation, that we have to abolish poverty everywhere, and this has to be done at the expense of everybody, and that the government is the area that will do this. I want to tell you something. The government can do nothing for you without spending more money to do it than you can do it. There's no thus saith the Lord that have instructed you to support his enemies. They would dump the strength of the kingdom from one end of the world to the other. And this is super deception. Of all of the crackpot ideas that have been put out to the American people to deceive them on how to do it. And we better find out how we got here. We better find out how we arrived at the heights that our civilization achieved and the great creative capacities which we had. For it was in the days when our instructors and our educators had faith in God, when our great universities were founded on this principle of advocating service and worship of God. When a university like Yale and Harvard would say, the most important area that we can teach in this university is teach men their moral and spiritual responsibilities to the service of God and make sure that they read their Bible and are guided by His Spirit. This is more important than anything else we can teach in this university. That, my friends, was the secret of a dynamic that produced leadership in America. Because men cannot live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I want to cite this to you very clearly. Super deception has swept across the land, but it hasn't taken as big a toll in the masses of our people as far as their inner faith is concerned. But they have given lip service to the world order's design for the overthrow of their national life and their individual liberties. And the church under deception have been told that this is not your responsibility. You're to pay no attention to this. You're to just get off in the corner and absorb all of the nice things about your religion and get ready to fly away. I want you to know that Jesus said, you occupy till I come, and there's only one way you can occupy, and that's to synchronize your thinking with the thoughts of God, to find your relationship of why you're here and what you're here for and what time is it. When God speaks to His ministers and moves upon those He raises up as His prophets and upon the household of the Most High, His message for the people is the message for the hour. You must be well versed in all the Word of God and all the pattern of your history. But I want you to know that the message for this hour is not one, my friends, of acquiescence. It's not one of totally removing yourself from the affairs of the world. You're on the edge of Armageddon. You're on the edge of the colossal struggle, and all the pressure of the world is on. You know, you can feel that something's about to happen. Everybody feels something's about to happen. The whole world's under tension. And there is something about to happen, and you know what's about to happen. Why, the sky is going to be filled with the host of the Most High God before this era is consummated. The host of the Most High stand by. The powers of righteousness are going to be poured out on the sons and daughters of God, challenged and with vision. They're going to occupy their land. They're going to drive out the darkness. And they're going to advance to take the earth. This is what's about to happen. No wonder it's a period of power. Thus I tell you that if a message today is thus saith the Lord, it's going to be about the hour you're living in. It's going to be for the strength and the nourishment of the kingdom. is going to be to charge them for the responsibility of this hour, which is occupation and victory. You know, every once in a while, as we see people cast down and depressed, it's because they have been listening to forces that tell them it's too late or it can't be done or we're already defeated. And a lot of times these are forces that claim to be the oracles of God that say that we're so whipped that God's got to take us out of here in an emergency route or we're doomed. I want you to know that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord are a part of a great and mighty victory. And you are my sons and my daughters. And he said, I'm going to make the world know that I've loved you. We're going to break the powers of darkness. We're going to set a nation free. We're going to see the great kingdom of God born in a single day. In one moment, the twinkling of an eye, you're going to think as he thinks. You're going to know as he knows. So I said, well, what about all? Does this cover all our people? It covers the predestinated purpose of the Most High that covers the entirety of your race. However, I can well assure you that there is going to be marked differences in the areas of dispersed authority throughout the beginning of these processes. There's going to be a lot that are first and are going to be last. There's going to be a lot they consider the last that are going to be first. You know, some of these deceived elect who are under the temporary deception are seven times worse than even the enemy in your midst, because as proselytes to hell, they deceive people because they look like you do. Someone said, what's going to happen to them? Well, there's going to be a lot of them that are not going to be in the administration of the kingdom. They're not even going to dwell here. They're going to dwell on the outside for a while until they find out how good it is on the inside. They'll expiate some of their error. They're going to have to teach a lot of things that they're going to have to learn. I point out to you that God has a great pattern of reward. He brings his reward with him to give every man as his work shall be. So the grace of God has predestinated that every one of you shall conform to his image, that all Israel shall be saved, as is written. It didn't say they were all going to meet the same adjustment at the same time for the same result. But he did say that they were all going to think and know. And when some of these fellows think and know, I wonder how they're going to feel. A fellow like Earl Warren, for instance, how's he going to feel when he suddenly perceives and understands the right and knows where he's been all this time? Now, there isn't any area of revenge. I'd like to see him shine like the light too. In the fullness of time he will, but I'm going to tell you something. That some of these people don't understand that God's about to do a great and mighty work. And this great and mighty work, he's going to replace those who do not belong at the areas of leadership with his sons and his daughters. He's going to take the deceivers out of the way. And he's going to say to some of them that lay claim, well, we even preached this in the church. We tried to get everybody together. We even tried to join with all the religions of the world because this is the way and this is what we did. He's going to say, depart from me. You said you did all this, Lord, Lord, Lord. He said, you didn't do it in my name. It must have been Baal they were calling on when they said, Lord, Lord, Lord. Mark this. That in this great hour in which the challenge comes, and you can feel the dynamic of it, and you can feel the increasing catalyst of spiritual forces. And the spiritual forces that move are tremendous. And the hosts that are coming in and standing by become catalyzed every day. And do you feel yourself charged with the events and the conditions? This, my friends, is the way God wants you to live. Charged with expectancy, with hope, with participation, not with retreat or surrender. Then you live the thing you think and feel. Human failures may occur, errors of imperfection, but not in the will, not in the plan. God said of David, here's the man after my own heart. David had human frailty, but David had in his heart a great love for the Father, a great hope for the kingdom, a great purpose, a great faith. He laid down his life battling for that kingdom, and he never ran out on responsibility in opposing the enemy. God said, here's a man after my own heart. In fact, made a posterity guarantee to his seed after him and all their generations. I tell you that there may be human mistakes and human errors, but these forces that give themselves over to the defeat of the kingdom or work for Lucifer, who are the children of deception, God has ordained that you unseat them from power, you repudiate their evil, you lift up the standards of his righteousness as law and want the nation free. Once more, come back with the great dynamic that God's ordained for us to carry, the light of the world. So we tell you that this is the sight You can find deceivers. They deny that Jesus is the Christ, or they do the bidding of the world and say, oh yes, we're Christians, but they want all religions brought together. They want all religions and philosophies tied together, and they want all nations brought together, outnumbering and destroying the kingdom and swallowing up. They want to mix the salt with earth, and they want to put a bushel over the light. So we tell you that the expose becomes clear. They can sing the Kalanitra on Saturday. You take them out of every area of world affairs from Sunday through the rest of the week. Then I'm going to tell you that we have about reached the climax, and it's here. With faith, with vision, you lift up the standard and press towards one plan, this one that God ordained.
Thank you.